Well, friends, here we are. It's week two, and I'm always excited to kind of jump into something, and I'm excited to jump into something new. One thing that you will kind of get as a theme of things I do and the way I kind of do things is I like to do sermon series, and I like to do sermon series for a couple of reasons. One, I like a beginning and I like an ending. I like there always to be some sort of fresh start and fresh thing. And then also, I don't know about you, but I need closure. You know, when I go on vacation, there is this part of me that needs to figure out when the end of vacation is. So is it a week? Is it 2 weeks? What is it? But I like beginnings and I like endings. The other reason for that is because I like chapters. I like to think about life in chapters. And here's why that is. And you experience this. We all experience this. But sometimes we go through difficult chapters in life. Am I right? We go through hard times. Maybe a loved one has dealt with cancer, or we're dealing with cancer, or we're dealing with something difficult going on in our lives. But the good news is there is always another day. There's always going to be another chapter of life. And so I like to do things in chapters. So a lot of times I think about sermon series as chapters of life. The other reason is this. Is that I am always about inviting people to church. So if you're here today and someone invited you and they bribed you into getting here, hey, guess what? I'm excited that they bribed you. I don't know what they bribed you with, but I'm excited that you're here. Kids, if you are here and you're hanging out and your parent talked you into coming, I'm excited that your parent talked you into coming, because hopefully you're going to run across something that speaks to you. And hopefully you're going to gain some insight. Maybe there might be something that I say that you go, okay, I can completely get on board with that. I can do that. But, and so with that, though, is I think a new sermon series is always an opportunity to invite somebody new to church. That when we start something new, we can invite someone to church. And something you're going to hear from me constantly is who are we inviting? Who are we asking to be a part of this? Because, and here's why this is important, is there are two gigantic questions that I think that we've always got to ask ourselves. And I spoke a little bit to this last week, so if you weren't here, I'm sorry. But the two big questions are this, are why Jesus, right? Why does anybody need Jesus? I think you and I have to wrestle that question to the ground. And I can't answer that for you. I can only answer it for me. Now, if you were here last week, you heard that Jesus radically changed my life, because at 25, I was going down a horrible trail. And if you would ask anybody I went to high school with, they would have said, okay, Joe is either going to be in jail or he's going to be dead. One of the two. I'm not sure which is where he's going to get to first. But at age 25, I had a radical encounter with Jesus, and that changed every part of my life. And so for me, the why Jesus question is, I'm convinced that following Jesus will make you better. Regardless of what you believe about Jesus, and you may be here, and you may be like, well, Joe, I'm not so sure what I think about this Jesus thing. I'm just here because I think I'd like everybody in the room. And I think that is great, and I think that's awesome. And so you can continue to do that. But the good news is that you can follow Jesus and begin to learn the ways of Jesus. And actually, if you go and look at those early followers of Jesus, they followed before they did anything else. But I'm convinced that following Jesus will change you, and it will change your relationships around you. I think I'm a better husband because of Jesus. I think I'm a better father because of Jesus. Because without Jesus, I am pretty darn selfish. All you got to do is figure out how many gift cards I use that I don't tell my family about, or how many places to eat I go to, and I go, oh yeah, I had a free Sonic gift card for that, and I just didn't tell anybody else about it. Because at the core, there is a selfish part of me that goes, man, I think I want to keep some of this food to myself, right? But that's kind of funny, right? But Jesus will make you a better person. So because of Jesus, I'm a better husband, I'm a better father, I'm a better friend. There are a number of areas of life that I'm better at. But the second question you and I have to ask when it comes to invitation is why the church? Why the church? Why do we invite people to church? And that's another question that you have to wrestle and I have to wrestle to the ground. And for me, it was the church that changed my life. It was those people around me, that community of folks. And so I think, you don't have to think. You can think whatever you want to think. But I'm convinced that the church is the hope of the world. That if people can get in a community, and think about this for a minute, how many people do you know who have gone through a difficult time and everything just crumbled around them and everything went to you know where in a handbasket, right? Because, somebody's like, did he just say that? Yes, I did. But because they did not have a community of people around them, when they went through that difficult time, everything crumbled. And I'm convinced that the church is one of those places where people can find healing and they can find community and they can find connection to Jesus. And so to those two questions, why Jesus and why the church, all of us have to wrestle those things to the ground. Because, and this isn't even the whole sermon yet, right? Because the church is all about a ruthless hope that the God of the universe wants to do something in the lives of people. And as people get connected to what God wants to do, as people get connected to that hope, then all of a sudden life is better. Is the church perfect? No, right? Anybody have a bad church experience? Don't raise your hand. But that the church is amazingly hopeful and can do some amazingly hopeful things in the lives of the community and in your life and in my life. And I am always about how do we invite people into this hope. Now, Sunday, believe it or not, Sunday is it's a mini Easter is what it is. Because the church and gathering around Sunday, you probably already know this, but gathering on Sunday and what the church does revolves around two things. Revolves around Christmas and revolves around Easter. As a matter of fact, people who do what I do, there are some folks, and if you're one of those folks, don't raise your hand. But some folks in the church, people like me, we refer to those CEO Christians, right? It means Christmas, Easter, other CEOs, they're in charge. But Christmas and Easter are those two main rhythms of life that the church is built around. And so every time we gather on a Sunday, it is a mini Easter. And believe it or not, if you were to go back and trace history, the church has not always met on a Sunday. But we worship on a Sunday to be reminded of the resurrection of Jesus and to be reminded that there are new things that God wants to do in our lives. And so if you've ever gone through a horrible time, if you've ever experienced some bad things, there are new things that God wants to do in your life and wants to do in my life. And that's why today we're doing this big chase thing. And that's why we gather on a Sunday, because we are reminded that God wants to do something. Worship is a reminder that God has some big dreams, that God has some big purposes, and that you and I are invited to be a part of that. We're invited to participate in that thing, but sometimes we lose our way, right? There are some times in life that we lose our way. Now, has anybody seen the movie Pretty Woman? Anybody seen that movie? Okay, some of us, right? I have. Okay, I've seen Pretty Woman. Now, here's the thing. I'm not going to tell you the whole story. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to mess some of this up for you, okay? But you should probably just go home and watch it. It's a horrible idea of how to do relationship, by the way. Just thought I'd let you know that. As most romantic movies are. But Pretty Woman is a story about this woman named Vivian, played by Julia Roberts. And Vivian is a lady of the night, for lack of a better term. Parents, you can explain that to your kids at home later. But Vivian is this woman of the night, and she falls into kind of this interesting romance with Richard Gere. I don't even know his character's name in the movie. But she falls into this romance with Richard Gere, and he's kind of trying to figure himself out a little bit. And they begin to develop this relationship, and they begin to kind of care about one another. And there's a romance that develops. And Vivian says something later on in the movie that I think is remarkable, and I think speaks to what you and I are talking about today. And she tells Richard Gere's character, she says, "This is not the life I would have chosen, but somehow this is where I've ended up." And I'm convinced that for many of us, what happens in life is we get to some places where we've begun to believe some lies that maybe we're worthless or maybe we're not that great or maybe we're not acceptable. And along the way, we get lost and we lose sight of what it is that God wants to do in us, and we lose sight of this dream that God has for us. And so this morning, what I want to do is I want to look briefly at the life of Moses, because the life of Moses is all about God doing something and showing us a bigger picture of what God wants to do. And the story of Moses, before you go, Joe, I've heard this story a million times. You can't tell me anything that I don't know about Moses. What I want to show you is this, is that the story of Moses is not just Moses' story. I think it's your story. I think it's my story. And God invites us into this story. And so Moses is this baby. You know the story, right? Moses is this baby born into slavery. And if you look at the book of Exodus, it begins chapter 1, and then it jumps into chapter 2. But it moves along. So what I want to do is I'm just going to paraphrase the story for you. We're not going to actually read the whole thing. But what happens is Moses is born to slaves. And he's born to the Jewish people who are slaves. And what happens is the ruler, the Pharaoh, which is the king. Young people, you know this, right? Pharaoh, Pharaoh, that's a song. But anyhow, but this baby is born. And the Pharaoh has decided that every male child of these Jewish people should be killed, should be eliminated. Because what's going to happen if all these male children rise up? They're going to form an army one day, and they are going to be completely out of control. So we need to eliminate the male babies. Well, in chapter 2, Moses is born to this Hebrew woman, and she decides that she is not going to sacrifice her baby. And she does an amazingly bold thing, and she decides to put him in a basket, which I don't know if that's a great idea, by the way. Somebody needs to call DFS. But she puts this baby in a basket and puts him in the river. There are crocodiles there, by the way. But she puts this baby, it's a bad idea. Never do this. Kids, don't do this at home. But she puts this baby in the river. And what she does, and I think this is amazingly bold, is what she does is she places her baby in the hands of the only place of hope. And what she does is she trusts that God is going to do something with this baby. And what happens is Moses floats down the river, and lo and behold, the daughter of the king of Egypt is there bathing. And she sees this basket out in the water, and she says, hey, somebody go, this is a paraphrase, by the way. She says, somebody go get that. Somebody go get the basket and bring it to me. And she sends her servant out to get it. And then in verse 6 of chapter 2, it says, when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the boy was crying. And then she had pity on him and said, this is one of the Hebrews' children. Now, when the scripture says that she has pity, there is a better translation for that word. And the better translation is that she has compassion. Because here's the difference. To have pity means that you look on something and you feel sorry for it, right? Anybody ever do that? You're driving along and there is somebody standing at the stoplight and they've got a sign, right? Anybody ever run across somebody? And they've got a sign that says, hey, I'm starving, I'm broke. And you go, man, does anybody get a dollar? And you get a dollar out and you go, hey, have a good day, God bless. And so you have some pity. But compassion, the better translation, right? Compassion means that you feel with. You don't feel for somebody. You feel with somebody. And when you're with somebody, you're doing something together. You're walking together in this. Feeling with someone means that you identify. Feeling with someone, having compassion, means that you actually take some action. And so Pharaoh's daughter takes action. And she begins to adopt this baby and takes them into her home. And then it moves along. The story just goes really quick. And it moves along. What happens is that Moses grows up. And the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of details. Just kind of gives us a little bit here and there. But he grows up in this palace. And he grows up the son of the princess and all the perks that go with that. I mean, the houses, the cars, the mansion, the ladies. I'm guessing that's how that goes. I don't know. But he grows up in comfort and ease. And then one day, something happens because Moses is doing, he's fine. Everything's working out pretty good. And what happens is Moses, you know the story, right? I mean, you know it better than I do. And you're like, Joe, I could tell this better than you. And you could. But he shows up and he goes outside the walls of the palace. And he sees something that all of a sudden disturbs him. And he sees an Egyptian attacking one of the Jews. And he is so disturbed by this that what he does not realize is he does not realize that God is doing something, that God is speaking, and there is something in his heart. And I'm convinced of this, that when your purpose and God's purpose meet, your world is changed. Because Moses, right? Moses is doing just fine, but he steps outside the comfort of the palace and he sees something that is disturbing. And I'm convinced that what is disturbing Moses is God disturbing him from within and saying, hey, I want you to do something. And Moses doesn't know it yet. He doesn't know that God wants him to do something. And what does he do? He responds in the best way possible. And we read on in the story, and in verse 11 and verse 12, he kills the Egyptian. And then he tries to bury the body. Now, again, it's a bad idea, so don't do this at home. But I am trying to figure out, whenever I read this story, I'm like, okay, so has anybody ever dug in sand? I mean, you ever been on the beach? And I mean, I've never tried to bury a body on the beach. Hopefully you haven't either. But I'm just asking myself, what shovel does this guy have to bury someone in the middle of Egypt? I think it's just a bad idea. But Moses reacts and he responds and he buries this Egyptian and tries to ignore this thing that he's done. And eventually he has to run away. But here's what happens. Is when God speaks to you and when God speaks to me, I'm convinced he begins with a disturbance. That there's something in us that we look at and we, okay, something is just wrong with that. Something needs to be done about that. It's like watching TV, right? And there is a commercial of a cute child, right? And that child is hungry. And you watch the commercial and maybe you change the channel. I don't know. But you go, something's got to be done about that. I mean, somebody's got to do something. And you're frustrated and there's something in you that you just cannot let go. Or something is done to somebody. And there is something in you that is just burning and you cannot let that go. And I'm convinced that that is God trying to speak to your heart and trying to speak to my heart to get our attention about something. Something he wants to do in the lives of people. Now, unfortunately, what happens, though, is just like Moses, a lot of times we just respond in anger, right? We post something on Facebook. Well, how dare you do blah, blah, blah. And we just post and we send and we share that all out. Or we send a nasty email or we do something that is really not healthy instead of thinking about saying, okay, wait a second. If this disturbs me, if this bothers me, could it be that God is speaking? Could it be that God is just simply trying to get my attention? And it's uncomfortable and it's unexplainable. But something doesn't line up with who God is. And the thing is this, is that God is always for the oppressed. The story of Moses, the story of Exodus, is about a God who says, okay, wait a second, I want to do something new in the lives of people. I want to do something brand new, and I want to rescue this group of people. And Moses, not only do I want to rescue this group of people, but I want to use you to do it. And it is in this place where Moses is being called by God to go do something. And it's in this moment that God's dream and Moses' dream meet and converge and come together for the first time. God is stirring something big in Moses, and Moses does not even know it yet. And here's what I'm convinced of for you and for me. That God has a dream for you, and God has a dream for me. That God wants to do something with you, and God wants to do something with me. And the thing about a God dream and something God wants to do, guess what? It's never just about me. It's always about others and how God wants to use me to reach other people and to benefit other people. You know, Abraham in the Old Testament had been promised, you know, Abraham, I want to do something great with you. This is the Joe paraphrase version, by the way, for you Bible scholars. But Abraham, I want to do something with you. I want to bless you. But Abraham, the reason I want to bless you is so that you might bless others, so that you might do something for other people. And you and I are invited into that same type of dream of what God wants to do in the lives of people. And so many times, though, we don't pay attention to that because we are just disturbed. We don't know why we're disturbed. We don't know why we're uncomfortable. We're like Vivian and Pretty Woman, and we're just kind of, we're distracted. We don't know how we ended up where we are. And we're missing what God wants to do in our lives and how God wants to use us in the lives of people. And God, I'm convinced that God is looking for people who want to put him on display. And God is looking for bodies of people that he can use to draw to him and draw to what he wants to do in their lives. A few years ago, I sat down with a young man who was in jail. And his aunt had contacted me, and she said, well, Joe, I don't know if he will talk to you, but I would love it if you would go by the jail and just visit with him. And I went in there, and whenever he and I sat down, he knew I was a pastor. And so he said, man, Joe, I don't know why you're here, but I don't want to talk about God. And I said, you know what? Let's just talk. We don't have to talk about God. Let's just talk. And so young guy, 18. And so I knew a little bit about him, and I said, man, here is my big question for you. When you were 5 years old, was this the dream? So when you were five, when you were six, looking back all the way to the very beginning of what you remember, was the dream to be in jail at 18? Was that the dream? And he said, well, Joe, no, that was not the dream. And I said, well, my friend, here's what I just want to do. I want to help you rediscover what it was you thought about when you were a kid. Because he had lost his way. And he had gotten caught up in life. And he had a great family. He has traveled to places that I wish I could travel to. I mean, he's been to a number of countries. And I'm just looking at him going, oh my goodness, you are 18 years old. You've traveled to four or five countries that I would love to travel to before you were 18. So how in the world did this young man end up in this situation? But he had missed this dream that God had for him. He had missed what God wanted to do with his life. Because God is always about those sorts of things. Always about how God wants to use you and I in the lives of other people. So what do we do with this? What do we do with this? So Moses, right, shows up on the scene. And God is disturbing him. And eventually, when we get to chapter 3, God does something and shows Moses exactly what he wants to do with Moses. So here's my question for you, and my question for me, is what is it that breaks your heart? What is it that when you look around, you are disturbed inside and you say something needs to be done about that? What breaks your heart? What is it that frustrates you? Because I'm convinced that what breaks your heart is a bridge to God's purpose in your life. That God disturbs and God moves and he draws us into his bigger dream. So here's your homework, folks. Okay, I'm going to give you a little homework. So in your bulletin, I want you to wrestle. I want you to wrestle this week. So there is a handout in your bulletin, and every day there is a scripture reading, and then there's a question. And I'm convinced, now here's what's going to happen, right? You're going to leave here, and you're going to forget half of what I said, okay? I know how this works. But this week, as you interact and you go through these questions, there's one for every day of the week. Read through the scripture, and then answer the question. Because, and young people, You're not off the hook here. Because I'm convinced that God wants to speak to you and wants to do some things with you as well. And so go through this and read through this every day this week and wrestle with these questions. Your second part of homework is this. Is I would encourage you to go look at some biographies or watch a movie about some people who were world changers and look at their journey of being disturbed by God and understanding that there is a greater purpose for their lives. One of those stories is William Wilberforce's story in Amazing Grace. What a great movie to talk about someone who was disturbed and moved to do something gigantic. Would you pray with me? God, we come before you and we give our lives to you and we ask that you would use us in big ways. That God, as we run after you, as we chase after you, that you would show us exactly what you want to do with us. We pray this in Jesus' name, amen.